everybody is debating this as, are you for the mullahs or are you for regime change? You have to look at all of this in the history of it, and the neocons in 9/11 saying they were going to regime change seven countries and use 9/11 as the pretext.
Right after 9/11, about 10 days after 9/11, I went through the Pentagon and I saw Secretary Rumsfeld and Deputy Secretary Wolfowitz. I went downstairs just to say hello to some of the people on the joint staff who had used to work for me. And one of the generals called me and he said, "Sir, you got to come in. You got to come in and talk to me a second." I said, "Well, you're too busy." He said, No. He says, "We've made the decision. We're going to war with Iraq." This was on or about the 20th of September. I said, "We're going to war with Iraq. Why?" He said, "I don't know." He reached over on his desk. He picked up a piece of paper. And he said, I just got this down from upstairs, meaning the Secretary of Defense's office today. And he said, "This is a memo that describes how we're going to take out seven countries in 5 years, starting with Iraq and then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and finishing off Iran." I said, "Is it classified?" He said, "Yes, sir." I said, "Well, don't show it to me." Were we to get out early, we'd be intensifying the threat against us of a super powerful Sunni extremist group, which was now legitimated by overt Saudi funding in an effort to hang on to a toehold inside Iraq and block Iranian expansionism.
And it wasn't just Wesley Clark releasing classified info. They said the Project for New American Century, a year before 9/11, that they needed a big attack to be able to do this. And so I don't like the mullahs. I don't like their dictatorship, but this is not America first. So I've got a lot of the folks out there that don't like Iran because they blew up the Marine base and all the rest of it and attacked Israel. I don't like the Iranian leadership either. Neither does their population. They're very unpopular. Even Eric Prince, he's looked at the different ethnic and religious groups there. And there's a very good chance this is going to be a civil war. We can be sucked into a new Vietnam. And that's if we're successful getting rid of the mullahs. So it's a real roll of the dice. But no one can deny that this is an extremely bold move by Trump. And Trump said, if they're going to get a nuke, I'm going to go in and stop them. Now, here's the big story. And I told you this at least 15 years ago, and then I talked to my other Pentagon sources, and they said, "Yeah, that's true, and you shouldn't know that." But they have cars, vans, taxi cabs, you name it, that the West has in Iran that drive around that have sensors on them that scoop up the air, and then they send it back and have it tested. And 15, 16 years ago, they were driving around the enrichment centers, so they stick them out in the middle of nowhere trying to keep away from that, but they can also follow vehicles that are transporting it, and they picked up heavily enriched uranium from the centrifuges. So when you hear Israel saying for 20 years, they're 2 weeks from a nuke, that's because they have been. Now, just because that's true doesn't mean Israel has a right to strike them. We're going to attack North Korea because they have nukes? I want to be clear. Iran is trying to get a weapons program. They refuse the peaceful program and the free fuel to build power reactors. They don't need reactors. They are full of oil and gas. So it is true that they've been pursuing a nuclear program. I don't believe you have a right to attack them just because of that. Can Iran attack Israel because they've got nukes? Now, here's the headline, and this is officially on the Iranian news channels. Iran needs only 1 week to conduct a nuclear test, says member of Iranian Security Committee, their Security Council, and a high-level member of parliament. There's a bunch of statements by the council. We can have a bomb in 1 hour. We can have a bomb in 1 day. We can have a nuclear test within 1 week. And Iran could test a nuke and show everybody. And, we've had Witkoff saying this earlier in the week. And the bigger deal is they have the delivery systems now with their medium-range ballistic missiles. Now, when I state those facts, people go, "Oh, my God, you're agreeing with Israeli propaganda." Not everything Israel says is a lie. Now Iran says they're 1 week away from being able to test one. And I predict it because that's the obvious move to say, "Hey, we got nukes." Okay, we got nukes. Because they look at North Korea and others that have nukes that don't get attacked. So this is a big deal.
You have the widest...
collection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, I want the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Over the past 36 hours, the United States and its partners have launched Operation Epic Fury, one of the largest, most complex, most overwhelming military offensives the world has ever seen. Nobody's seen anything like it. We have hit hundreds of targets in Iran, including Revolutionary Guard facilities, Iranian air defense systems. Just now, it was announced that we knocked out 9 ships plus their naval building, all in a matter of literally minutes. Iran's formerly supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, is dead. This wretched and vile man had the blood of hundreds and even thousands of Americans on his hands and was responsible for the slaughter of countless thousands of innocent people all across many countries. Earlier today, CENTCOM shared the news that 3 U.S. military service members have been killed in action. As one nation, we grieve for the true American patriots who have made the ultimate sacrifice for our nation, even as we continue the righteous mission for which they gave their lives. We pray for the full recovery of the wounded and send our immense love and eternal gratitude to the families of the fallen. And sadly, there will likely be more. Before it ends, that's the way it is. Likely be more, but we'll do everything possible where that won't be the case. But America will avenge their deaths and deliver the most punishing blow to the terrorists who have waged war against basically civilization. They have waged war against civilization itself.
Now trickling up, sadly, the 4th U.S. service member has officially been killed. That announcement coming again from Central Command just moments ago. Folks, welcome to the American Journal. I am Brianna Morello, and we are continuously following what's unraveling in Iran right now. As many of you guys saw throughout the weekend, the United States with Israel did decide to launch an attack on Iran. We don't know specifically why it was so urgent, but what's unraveled since then has been absolute devastation, not only in Iran, but for Americans who have sat back and watched now 4 U.S. service members get killed in all of this. Pete Hegseth, speaking at the Pentagon moments ago, will play a clip for you in just a second. But he detailed specifically how those service members were killed. Apparently, they were hit while working from a center, a tactical center. Now, the specific details as to where that center was is currently unknown. Those 4 service members have not yet been named. Again, the 4th just officially being announced moments before going to air. So we're continuing to follow that as it develops. But again, devastating news. An unspecific number of U.S. service members also injured in all of this. Yet the Pentagon has not given us that information either. Now, moments ago, Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of War, spoke at the Pentagon and explained why it was so urgent for the United States to launch these attacks with Israel over the weekend. Take a listen to clips two.
Iran's stubborn and self-evident nuclear pursuits, their targeting of global shipping lanes, and their swelling arsenal of ballistic missiles and killer drones are no longer tolerable risks. Iran was building powerful missiles and drones to create a conventional shield for their nuclear blackmail ambitions. Let me say that again. A conventional shield for their nuclear blackmail ambitions. Our bases, our people, our allies, all in their crosshairs. Iran had a conventional gun to our head as they tried to lie their way to a nuclear bomb. It all
being made by the Secretary of War just moments ago, again, at the Pentagon. Now, obviously, we're going to be diving into this throughout today's show, going over the Iranian threat, obviously, overseas, but mainly here in the United States, folks. I have been extensively reporting, and I did so over the weekend as well with Alex Jones, about the home threat, the homeland threat that we currently have underway right now. We have a massive, massive issue that we'll be diving into, because I've just received the numbers from DHS over the weekends as to how many of these sleeper cells possibly have been deported. And the number is extremely alarming. Now, again, when Pete Hegseth was holding his press conference, he was asked about those sleeper cells by a reporter from the Daily Wire. And in clip 11, he details specifically what that threat might look like. Take a listen.
Of course, we're paying attention to any potentialities there. This is a former regime, that seeks to export that ideology and try to sow terror. We're ready for that. We've seen these types of folks before, and the American people can rest assured that we're vigilant on that.
All right, as you heard him there say, he claims the United States is prepared for that. We're going to go into detail because, folks, I don't think we're prepared for that. Right now, DHS is currently in a partial shutdown because we don't have the funding to keep it open. Why? Well, because Republicans were a bunch of cowards and they decided to pass together a budget that didn't actually fully fund Homeland Security, something you probably consider before striking Iran first. We'll also dive into the details regarding the terror attack that was unleashed on a group of young people who were just enjoying a Saturday night at an Austin bar. That terror attack obviously taking place on Saturday, late in the middle of the night. And we're learning more about the terrorists that decided to unleash that unprecedented amount of violence on those individuals, again, who were doing nothing. I mean, they were literally just sitting in a bar enjoying their Saturday night when this Islamic terrorist decided to walk into that bar and open fire. Now, two Americans are dead and several other, over a dozen, are actually injured. And this is absolutely devastating news. But let's kind of sift through how we got here in the first place. Many of you saw over the weekend, CentralCom, now that's the Central Command Center, they have been the ones directing all of this. And if you're someone who's looking to follow the most up-to-date information, I'd highly recommend you follow them on X, because that's where all the latest information is going to be coming from. Sadly, the Pentagon being very, very silent over the weekend and only putting out certain information from that CentCom Twitter account. Now, they showed video footages of all of the ballistic hits that were being carried out throughout Iran. And as many of you guys know, it killed their supreme leader. But then it gets even worse for the United States, right? We'll go through that in a second. I guess we can pivot to this. The IDF is saying that all senior terrorist leaders in Iran have officially been eliminated. They put up this official list as to how many of them have been killed. Take a look at their faces. These are the individuals who have officially been killed. And we're hearing it's over 40 plus top senior officials in the Iranian military. Now, again, folks, I want to keep highlighting this point. The White House not really putting out much in the way of information. Even President Trump yesterday being asked, he made his way back to Washington, D.C. about what took place in Iran. And again, he did not give comment. Now, we were learning about the details in regards to all of this and how everything was unraveling. We learned also about several U.S. military aircrafts that crashed in Kuwait earlier this morning. Now, we're learning more details in all of this. And according, again, to CentralCom, I should say, they're claiming that this was possibly friendly fire. Now, thankfully, the service members who were inside of those aircrafts were able to safely eject themselves and have not been harmed in any of this. They have since apparently made their way over to local hospitals, and they are currently receiving medical treatment. That's according to several reports. But again, folks, this is an absolutely horrifying moment. Now, again, those are the F-15 fighter jets that you're seeing right now coming down. And again, our own Pentagon saying that this was actually friendly fire. So keep that in mind. Now, this happened around 11:03 p.m. Eastern time. That's according to the Kuwait Army as well. Now, the statement that they put out in regards to all of this clearly details that these service members were located and they were immediately transported to local hospitals for a health status update. We'll keep you in the loop on that as well, because folks, obviously, this is developing. And it's absolutely horrifying to see, but thank God those service members, so far we've seen images of three of them, that they are safe and they are receiving help inside of hospitals right now in Kuwait. Now, again, we're hearing this was all friendly fire. Keep that in mind. All right, let's keep moving on. There's so much happening right now that we need to keep diving into in regards to all of this. Let's go to a report that came out earlier today as well. In clip three, we're going to listen to a Fox report which outlines how Iranian ballistic missiles were able to make their way into Israel. Take a listen.
I do have some new information for you that I can give you just now in between our last report. And since we spoke, I received a new statement from a senior Israeli official about the Hezbollah strikes that we talked about earlier and the ongoing operation against Hezbollah. All of this is developing very quickly as the Israelis are still taking incoming Iranian ballistic missile fire, but they are now also focused on Iran's largest proxy, Hezbollah. This senior official telling Fox News exclusively that overnight Hezbollah launched barrages at Israel in an attempt by Iran's proxy. And you hear those explosions in the distance, an indication that these missiles from Iran are being intercepted as we speak. But again, the senior official telling Fox News that this attempt overnight by Hezbollah was trying to help come to Iran's defense and open another front in this war. The official goes on to say, this is a situation that Israel and the U.S. had been preparing for. The targets were ready. Within a matter of minutes, Israeli planes were in the skies, eliminating over 30 Hezbollah terrorists in under 3 hours. Again, these words coming from a senior Israeli official.
As you heard there, folks, that's extremely alarming. But what's more alarming, though, is what happened in the UAE. You may have seen this over the weekend as well, and it's still ongoing. But it looks like several buildings throughout the region were actually struck by Iran. And again, folks, this is something that's extremely alarming. I don't think they were even prepared for this. The UAE has officially cut, though, their diplomatic ties with Iran, who obviously has launched several missiles and drones their way. And as of right now, it slightly does look like there actually might be retaliation in regards to all of this. There have been several reports that the UAE are sending over jets right now, potentially to Iran, to possibly lead retaliation strikes to what unfolded over the weekend. Now, we've got our eye to that, so we'll keep you in the loop if anything does happen. But so much has happened over the last few hours. It feels like a game of catch up right now. So I'm trying to break this all down for you. Even the Saudis are now involved in all of this, because apparently their oil refineries were also struck by Iranians. That's according to several reports. Now, the Saudis have shut down its 550,000 barrels per day refinery facility. That's according to the latest news, that was shut down earlier today again. And it looks like there was possibly two drones targeting the facility where they intercepted by the Saudi defense system as well. So again, the Saudis are also reeling from all of this. And it's not just that. Obviously, Qatar is also dealing with their own issues as well after both Israel and the United States decided to launch these attacks. The strikes apparently did potentially strike in Qatar again. So we're following that angle, as well as many others. And you may have seen this also over the weekend as well. Yesterday, late evening, armed rioters tried to overrun the U.S. consulate in Pakistan as well. Take a look at this video. This video, in fact, does show what so many are claiming didn't actually happen. Now, we know it happened, of course, because, well, we've got the footage. Many were trying to say, oh, no, they're not armed. Look at that. That's a gun, folks. That's a gun that you see in that man's hand. And he's obviously opening fire and trying to shoot. Now, probably not the smartest thing to do when your fellow allies are trying to run past you to shoot in their direction. But again, we're dealing with the individuals who have been inbred so deeply that they are probably one of the lowest IQ human beings on the face of this earth. So no surprise there. Now, when it comes to drones, folks, I want you to listen to this, because this information came down yesterday from the Central Command Center. They posted this on X. This was actually shortly, I believe it was actually on Saturday. in regards to what was actually unfolding on the ground in Iran. We, for the very first time, sent in one-way attack drones. Now, this was also, of course, a part of the Operation Epic Fury as well, but this was like a low-cost drone that they said was in the area. Now, they didn't give us the brand names or the manufacturers behind these drones. And I did reach out to the Pentagon for comments because I want to know what kind of drones were these specifically? What was the brand of these drones? If you're asking, why would you ask that question, Brianna? Well, there's a lot that's on the line here. This reminds me of news that came out late last week or early last week, I should say, in regards to Eric Trump. Eric Trump being behind a heavily invested new drone company that apparently is an AI-driven Israel-funded drone company that was a startup. Eric Trump apparently has invested with his group about a $1.5 billion merger. And so many are wondering, just based on this, what drones were specifically utilized in all of this? Again, this is an Israeli drone company. And this just happened last week. This just announcement just came out last week. So the timing is quite concerning, but they're using the same verbiage. So keep that in the back of your minds. Now, again, the Pentagon has not yet responded in regards to all of this, and I will continue to follow up with it, as I did just moments ago before we went to air. But this is important information that the American people need to know. Now, earlier over the weekend, I've been very, very busy, very, very chaotic. I've been reaching out to sources on the ground, and I've gotten you some really critical pieces of information. I was one of the first ones to break this to you as well. The National Counterterrorism Center is on the ground right now in Austin, Texas. Both them and the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, which is obviously ODNI, well, they are also involved in this investigation now. They're looking to see if there's potentially any foreign ties regarding that Islamic terrorist that decided to open fire inside of that Austin bar. Now, again, we've told you all about this. Over the weekend, Alex and I went to air with all of the breaking news in regards to this. But my source is telling me that they are, in fact, on the ground right now, looking to see if this individual had any ties to any foreign terrorism organizations. So one must ask, an individual who went in with the shirt, obviously you all saw the shirt, Property of Allah. He also apparently had the Islamic flag in both his home, and there are some reports that it was in his car, but again, these are all unclear. There was also the Iranian flag, it looks like, as well, and he had several images of the Ayatollah. Now, also, when I was going through his social media pages, and we still have not yet been able to confirm whether or not it is his social media pages, but it was very clear just moments before the shooting that there were images of, again, the Supreme Leader on his page. Now, if the page is real, and again, I keep reaching out to see if our government will verify it for us. Unfortunately, though, there's no transparency during times like these, so they won't. But he also had images of George Floyd, if this is his actual Instagram account. Now, again, I'm not going to post it because it's very difficult to get them to confirm any of this, although the images look very identical to the shooter. The government's not really issuing much in the way of a response to that question. Now, Data Republican has posted an extensive list of details in regards to who this individual is. And it's up right now on her X page if you'd like to take a look at that. But she went through it and did an extreme overview as to who this person is and the potential threats that he had faced. Now, keep in mind, this is an individual who was a naturalized U.S. citizen. He made his way into the United States thanks to, of course, Barack Obama and thanks to the B2 tourist visas. So again, that's who we have to thank. Now, he came into the United States back in 2000, so he's been here for quite some time. And everything is quite strange, especially when you look at his social media accounts. Now, again, it's really hard to verify whether or not he is the individual who's in the social media accounts because on his Twitter page, there's no actual image of him. It does have his first and last name, which apparently is a common name in the region that he comes from. And so, again, very, very difficult. Now, again, he comes from Senegal. So just to keep that in the back of your minds, folks, he does come from Senegal, which is obviously a region I think most Americans aren't very familiar with. But according to my sources that I've spoken to on the ground, when they go through a social media page, they went through all of it with me, they were the ones who told me that it's possible that he has a very common name. And so what you're seeing populate on social media could actually be inaccurate. And so we are trying our very best to vet the information, but it's extremely difficult, extremely difficult. And we're trying our very best to be as accurate as possible. Now back to this individual who made his way into our country due to the B2 tourist visa. He became a, this is the background that's according to Fox News, in 2006, he became a lawful permanent resident in 2006 based on marriage to a United States citizen. He was a naturalized citizen then later on in 2013 under Barack Obama. And it looks like if you look at his criminal record that there was an arrest regarding a collision with vehicle damage back in 2022. But it's not very clear as to who this individual is. We do know, though, of course, as we've been telling you about for quite some time now, that he is someone who was based in Texas. In Texas. No surprise. All major cities in Texas have been infiltrated. They've been conquered by these Islamists. And it's quite infuriating when you look at the information that's coming out now. Why? Well, because people like Amy Mack have been screaming about this for years now. They've been warning you, the American people, that Texas has been overtaken by jihadists. And because so many politicians are too afraid to say the truth, they don't want to actually address the issue. We know this. We know this. Keep in mind, folks, that New Orleans terror attack that took place in January 2025, that individual, again, was an American citizen, but he was someone who resided in Houston, Texas. He also belonged to a Houston mosque. Houston has been taken over by Islamists. It's not just Houston, it's also Austin as well, Dallas as well. And so many within our federal government are looking the other way. I know this because I continuously keep putting this on their radar. I continuously keep asking questions. In fact, I've been asking questions most recently just last week because this is something that I know is not on their radar. I've heard from several of my sources that we need to be on high alert here in the DFW and Austin area. Why? Well, specifically in DFW, they believe that they've imported a massive amount of weapons and are storing it in their mosque. Now, those reports are unconfirmed because, of course, our federal government doesn't actually want to do its job because they're too afraid to piss off the Islamists and go in there and do what they have to do. Because they believe, too, that Islam is a religion and it's protected by our U.S. Constitution. Now, it'd be great if we had a lawmaker go out there and actually make the argument against all of that. But unfortunately, we have a bunch of feckless cowards who continuously go out there and refuse to do just that. Folks, let me remind you, every member of law enforcement who has reached out to me over the last year has been sounding the alarm on how concerned they are. Their local police departments have been infiltrated. They've been expired. We'll just say they've been bought off. That's the best way to describe it. Those top officials I've reported on extensively here in Plano, Texas. Plano, Texas, our police chief, Ed Drain, has been working with the mosque, working with Islamic leaders. They don't give a damn that the Muslim Brotherhood is constantly going in there and sending their officials to speak at these mosques. They just want to cater to them. I mean, our public schools have been giving halal meat outs. It is absolute garbage, people. Garbage. And while they continue to tell us that there's a small group of individuals who are peaceful Muslims, they haven't yet spoken out about the attack that took place in Austin. And before we sit here and pretend like this is just a reaction to what happened in Iran, this is Islam. This is Islam. I'm going to go over the stats as to what of a serious threat this is really to the United States in just a little bit. Because again, here in the homeland, we do have a significant threat underway. And sadly, I don't understand, and this is going to be my opinion part here, I do not understand why we launched these attacks in Iran when we know that we have sleeper cells here in the United States. Now, I have confirmed, based on what we know, based on the numbers that have been given to us, that we've only captured about less than 8% of the sleeper cells here in the United States. Don't go anywhere. I'm going to be breaking down the very exclusive information that you won't see anywhere else because everyone else doesn't want to ask these questions because they're too afraid to piss off the jihadists. More underway in just a moment.
Alert, alert, alert. We're engaged in world-changing information here. The worldwide satanic pedophile networks, the poison shots, depopulation, the classified CIA documents about poisoning the food and water and medicines to make us dumb and more docile and controllable and to make us sick and die. Operation Artichoke fully declassified this week. Total vindication of this broadcast. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified, best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at thealexjonesstore.com. And we have a massive sale, and that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies. Each gummy is equivalent to like 40 grams or something of Irish Sea Moss. It's so good for you. A bunch of other super nutrients. And our high quality Shilajit. You get either or, you choose, absolutely free. That's a $35 value, absolutely free with our creatine. There's also store-wide 25% off all apparel. That ends midnight Wednesday, March 4th. But let me just overhead shot show TV viewers a couple of things right here. KU Medical Center. Creatine shows potential to boost cognition in Alzheimer's patients. Just type in creatine Alzheimer's. Creatine and cognition and aging, a systematic review of evidence in older adults, a major study. HHS Public Access. Effects of creatine supplementation on cognitive function of healthy individuals, systematic review of randomized controlled trials. And it's not just good for your brain, it's good for your heart, your muscles, everything. Everybody always thinks of it for muscles, but it's every organ, folks. And you got to get the right kind of creatine. We have the best. Here's BBC telling the truth. The bodybuilding supplement that boosts brain power. I mean, my God, I was taking creatine in high school. I could bench press 350 pounds, weighed 180 pounds, squatting 600. My strength just exploded once I got on creatine. But what's it do for your brain? Want bigger gains in your brain? Six facts about creatine and brain health. Get your creatine already discounted. Get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss and or Shilajit until Monday, March 2nd at midnight, and it funds the operation. Take action now at thealexshowstore.com. Plus, 25% off all apparel, t-shirts, hats, and hoodies. Ends midnight, Wednesday, March 4th. Take advantage of that. We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, I want the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. I want just Americana stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff. Classic InfoWars gear. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. I gave the concept great guys over there and gals. All up in Arkansas, where Big League's based. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it! It's got a cool deal on the right-hand shoulder. And there's just, it's over 700 shirts now. That's the only problem, is that you find a shirt, you get it, you like it, you want to buy another one. It takes me like, if you don't remember the name of the shirt, it takes you like an hour to find it. But that's a good problem to have.
Watching The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're jumping on board with us today. A lot happening over here. Obviously, with what's unraveled over these last few days in Iran, the United States and Israel teaming up to launch a series of attacks within Iran. And right now, we just heard from the Pentagon moments ago, and Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of War, saying that as of right now, there are no boots on the ground, but he would not give specifics or even a timeline as to how long this will have to carry out. Just telling the American people that we have our warriors out there right now fighting for the American people. And again, we played it in the open. The reason why the Pentagon is saying that they had to launch these attacks is that Iranians were working on, the regime was working on a massive weapon. Now, specifically, they won't tell us what. They've just described it as drones and missiles and didn't go into detail on all of this. But right now, I think most Americans want to hear from the Iranian people themselves to see where they fall on all of this. So joining me to discuss is Annie Cyrus. She's an incredible independent journalist. She is someone who obviously is very well experienced in Iran because she comes from Iran and she's fled here to the United States. And she's one of the very few people I trust on this subject matter because she knows it better than anyone else. She's also the author behind liveuptofreedom.substack.com. That is liveuptofreedom.substack.com. And she's also the author of the book, the architecture of jihad inside the ideology, law, and global strategy driving Islam's multi-front expansion. And she's a great resource of information, so it is honestly an honor to have her on the program. And before we get into your book, I want to just dive into that a little bit with you in just a moment. But I want to get to this first. I want to hear from what you're hearing from your sources on the ground in Iran. What was their reaction to what unraveled over the weekend?
Thank you so much for having me, Brianna. And I think my face speaks for itself. Inside Iran or outside Iran, a good 90% of Iranians, I'm not going to say all of us, 90% of Iranians are celebrating. We have been praying for this help. We've been praying for the right strikes, which on the very first day, as most of your audience know by now, they took out Ali Khamenei, the supreme leader of Iran, the man behind almost 37 years of bloodshed, torture, funding proxies, including blood of Americans on his hand, was taken out, which automatically doesn't mean Iran was liberated, but it does mean there was an end to the Islamic Republic part of Iran. Inside Iran, I have published dozens of videos of Iranians inside their homes, in their backyard, literally looking at the sky saying, come on, hit it, hit it. They're welcoming this. There are banners, again, inside and outside on celebration videos. You see the banners of thank you, Trump. Thank you, Bibi. You do not see, you see a handful of people who are upset, those who supported the regime. But the rest of the Iranians are beyond happy with what's happening. They look forward to the rest of it. Genuinely, they look forward.
Yeah, well, that's what it seems to be when I'm looking on social media and the videos that are populating right now. It does look like they are genuinely happy about all of this. For those of us here in the United States, though, obviously, we are concerned about what our official military role in all of this is going to be long term. President Trump coming out and telling Iranians, listen, now is your time to take over and to reclaim your government. What does that look like right now? Are Iranians preparing to strike back and to help with this fight?
Yes. So let me address something you said at the beginning of your sentence. I want to make something very clear, and this is no disrespect to us here in America, but I will strongly suggest that your audience do not look at the headlines on American media. This is by definition on the paper. This was a war that Israel started, and United States of America is backing Israel, or IDF to be specific. That's why President Trump didn't need approval from Congress, because we didn't go to war with Iran. We're backing our ally that technically on a paper we have an agreement with to back them up if they need military support during a war. That is important to know. I know most of the media in America are saying this is America at war with Iran. We did the first strike. That's not true. If you look at the trace of all the evidence from day one until now, at 1:15 a.m. Saturday morning our time, the first strike was by IDF. And the entire first 5 hours, we didn't even lift a finger. We were standing by for backup support. And when it was needed, we went in and supported. So far, our military had three main targets on Saturday, which our guys did a fabulous job of hitting them. They went in, they did the job, they come back out. Yes, it is tragic. It is sad that so far three of our servicemen have been killed. However, we cannot let this narrative fly around that America went to war with Iran. No, we didn't. We backed our ally in Middle East, which is Israel. The second thing, I don't think, looking at where we're at, this isn't going to take more than 2 weeks, Brianna. So far, they have taken out over 1,200 targets between U.S. and Israel. They have taken out 1,200 targets, which in total, there's only 1,700 to be taken out for the regime to collapse. So we're more than two-thirds of the way there in only 3 days. So it's not going to be a never-ending war. Reason. When we went to Iraq, when we went to Afghanistan, went to Libya, any of that, we just went in. This time we went in after 60 days of full revolution by the people of Iran, after they announced their picked leader. And then after the leader came out and said, I'm willing to become the transitional government, I'm referring to Crown Prince Pahlavi. So we're not just going into Iran, turning it into chaos. There's a leader standing by to come in, take power. As of yesterday, late night, he released another video thanking President Trump, thanking Bibi Netanyahu, and announcing that him and his transitional team are ready to go. So I'm not talking to you as an Iranian. I'm talking to you as a fellow American who does not like these never-ending wars. This is not going to be one of those. As far as people of Iran, yes, they are standing by. The coordination is coming from Crown Prince Pahlavi like it did on January 8th and 9th. He has released videos. He has started a full-time network right now. We're receiving updates. We're receiving commands. So people of Iran are to march on the streets and take over the government at a specific day, at a specific time that will be released by our elected transitional government, Crown Prince Pahlavi.
Okay, so can you walk us through all of this? Because this is also one of the main problems I think Americans are looking at. We were afraid that the United States was getting involved in something that would be similar to regime change, that President Trump, he did put out some statements, but it did exactly sound like what Americans fear, and that this was all about a regime change right now. And obviously, we're seeing the collapse of the current regime, so a lot of Americans are scratching their head wondering what's going on. Eric Prince also will play the clip later in the show, coming out and saying that he was worried about this too. Who is this leader that you're speaking about right now? Because I think the American people haven't really heard much on that front.
So Crown Prince Reza Pahlavi is the son of the late King of Iran, King Pahlavi. Mm-hmm. He was 18 years old. Well, technically 17 when the revolution started in Iran, but he's been pretty much growing up in America since he was 18. Excluding the time that we had to exile his father and the family during the hostage crisis in Iran. But he pretty much grew up in America. He is very familiar with our system. He is a very successful businessman. He was already trained when he was a child because he was going to replace his father in the future. He has more than 17 European countries endorsement on the leadership. He also has the endorsement of Israeli government and as the transitional government. And within those 60 days of revolution in Iran, you can find thousands of videos inside Iran, outside of Iran, the chance for his return. Now, I need to be very clear. He's not coming back as a monarch. He's not. He has made that very clear. For your audience who might be curious, if you go to the phoenixprojectofiran.com, his entire 100-day plan after taking over power is listed with details, names, cabinet members, background checks. Everything is in that website. He is coming in as a transitional republic government for the first 100 days until the country can come up with an election day and people of Iran will decide if they want him to stay in power in a monarch format or a republic, or there's a different candidate that will take over. Because that's the biggest concern. Americans who know about him, they're worried he's going to turn the country into monarch. That's not his plan. However, I have a strong feeling, including myself, Persians prefer monarch system like it was during his father. So there's a good chance it might turn into that, but that is not his plan.
Yeah. Well, we'll and he has that.
Yeah. I should say he has already met with Witkoff per order of or per request of President Trump. So it's not like he's just gaining momentum in Europe. He has been on the radar of President Trump as well. However, President Trump himself said on an interview that considering the circumstances, it is very inappropriate for me to sit down with him today. I can't do that, but I am watching him and I.
Did we lose Annie? Yeah, I think we lost her for a second. Annie, we lost you there for a second. If you want to repeat that final sentence that you just cited. All right, looks like we're going to fix that connection with Annie Cyrus. She's an incredible independent journalist. You could find her work at liveuptofreedom.com. That's where she could be found. She does a great job at breaking all of this down. She also will be speaking to us about her latest book that you could pre-order right now on her websites. Which breaks down the expansion of jihadism here in the United States and elsewhere as well, the multi-front expansion So we look forward to having her back once we get her cleared. But, you know, my follow-up question was going to be to shift things over. You know, Annie and I were talking over the weekend in regards to the terror attack that was carried out in Austin, Texas. We do know that this was an Islamic terrorist. This individual did, obviously, you've probably seen the images, was wearing a shirt that did say "Property of Allah." This individual also, apparently, according to reports, this is the New York Post latest report, inside of his home did have an Iranian flag and photos of the Islamic Republic leaders as well. They're saying that was in his home. This is an individual who prior lived in New York and then made his way back to Texas. Now, Texas has been a hotbed for a lot of this, and I've been reporting. If you watch this show, you probably remember when we were talking about the El Paso drone attack that took place. Remember when they shut down the El Paso airport for what they initially said was 10 days, and then it was ramped up quite quickly never mind. We're not closing it up. We're going to reopen, and commercial airlines will be able to fly in and out of the airport. Well, all of that has since shifted over and has since changed. And they said that it was the drug cartels, but my sources told me it didn't make any sense that this was a drug cartel drone. And so we've been digging into this for quite some time, and I've been trying to keep you guys on high alert for all of this. It looks like we have Annie Cyrus back on. Annie, we lost you with a little bit of the connection there. I wanted you to finish up your thought.
Yes, I apologize. My system crashed. But I was just saying that Crown Prince Pahlavi is on President Trump's radar. So he has decided, President Trump. That's, again, why I'm hoping this is not a usual, typical U.S. Change of regime method, because President Trump has to stay away from naming anyone, meeting with anyone, any candidates, any potentials, which is a sign of this is not another Iraq, Libya, or Afghanistan.
Interesting. Well, and, you know, we were talking about the terror attack that took place in Austin. You and I were on the phone yesterday, kind of sifting through the social media accounts that possibly do belong to the terrorists that did carry out those horrific attacks. As many of you guys know, there were two innocent individuals who were killed. The shooter was also taken down. And thankfully, Austin PD did respond within less than 57 seconds, it looks like. And they did shoot that individual. Over a dozen others are right now being hospitalized. They are injured. We don't know the status of those injuries, but of course, we're keeping our eye to that. You know, Annie, we talk often about the homeland threat here in the United States, and this one's a serious one. You know, I've been exclusively reporting, I've been reaching out to the federal government, trying to get some answers as to where do we stand with the sleeper cells that were imported by the Biden regime. You know, I want to play clip six for our audience. Clip six highlights specifically the known terrorists that were brought into this country by the Biden regime. Take a listen.
NCTC has been crunching the numbers and going through the sheer volume of known and suspected terrorists that are in the country that came in under the Biden administration. So far, NCTC has identified around 18,000 known and suspected terrorists that the Biden administration let come into our country. These are individuals who, under normal circumstances, would never be allowed to enter our country because of their ties to jihadi groups like ISIS and Al-Qaeda. Yet the Biden administration not only let them into the country, and in many cases facilitated their entry into the country, just like the entry of the Afghan terrorists who committed the terrorist attack here just before Thanksgiving, killing one of our National Guard members and wounding another. That Afghan was brought into the country as a group of over 100,000 Afghans who were brought here during the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. These individuals, despite what has been reported, were not vetted properly to come into the United States. The individual terrorist who committed the attack in D.C., he was vetted to serve as a soldier in Afghanistan. The Biden administration essentially used his tactical level vetting as a ruse to bring him here and to bring him into our communities. And we've seen the tragic results of that. Now, that Afghan, that attacker, that terrorist is just one of 88,000. We've identified 2,000 of that group of 88,000 who have ties to terrorist organizations. We're working right now hand in hand with DHS and with the FBI to run down this 2,000, the Afghans who came here under Allies Welcome, who have ties to terrorist organizations, and additionally the other 16,000 individuals with ties to terrorist organizations that Biden let into our country. That is probably the top terrorist threat that we face right now. And that doesn't include the individuals who came here illegally through the open border. That number, alarmingly, remains unknown at this time. We're trying to figure out who those individuals are as well.
All right. For weeks now, I've been trying to run these numbers to figure out what's going on here. Actually, it's been months, Annie. And we've only captured, it sounds like, about 7.8% of those known suspected terrorists that were released into our country. I know this because I asked DHS for the exact number, and they say that they've captured 1,416 of them, and only a little over 1,300 of them have officially been removed from the United States. When it comes to the homeland right now, are you concerned that we might see more in the way of attacks like we saw in Austin?
I am, actually. The day one, I put a post out saying, be aware of your surroundings, have your guard up, not to be afraid, but have your guard up, because this is where, you know, you don't just take out Khamenei and celebrate. He had too many ties. He was the head of the snake, but he had too many soldiers out who are going to try to take revenge. Just watch what's happening in Karachi, Islamabad, and Erbil, Pakistan, and Iraq since yesterday. They've been trying to attack our embassy and consulate because they're upset with what happened. So, yes, I am concerned we're probably going to see a spike on terrorist attack, jihadist attack inside America, especially in certain areas like Austin or New York City, Los Angeles, California. And I want to add something. I hear you on those numbers, Brianna, but one thing I've been covering is, imagine for each one of them who came to America, how many of our young men they have recruited. For every one jihadi you let in and you let them stick around for years in America, they start their grooming, they start their recruiting. So we end up with, for every jihadi that came in from outside, especially trained ones like the one in D.C., the attacker in D.C., they end up turning themselves into 10 to 12 other jihadis inside America. So the numbers we hear are way bigger, not because they let more people in, but because they turned our own young man in America. There was a Substack I wrote about the war on our young men in America. They're turning them into jihadis. They're recruiting them through these people that we're not capturing. So that's something to keep an eye on. Keep an eye on your, you know, young boys in the family. If you see a change of routine, if you see them off, pay attention. Don't let them be grabbed by the jihadists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's one of the main things that I think is really, really important. And Annie, I want to get to your book, because you have a book coming out, and we have it right now. It's up right now on liveuptofreedom.com for our audience that would like to check it out. The Architecture of Jihad Inside the Ideology, Law, and Global Strategy Driving Islam's Multi-Front Expansion. Let's talk about it here on the homeland a little bit and let you kind of detail what they could expect from this latest book.
Of course. So I actually started writing this right after the 12 Days War last year. It happened that it's being released during the second round of the war, but I wrote it because the first thing I noticed after the ceasefire or during those 12 days was how much my fellow Americans are not aware of what we're facing here in America. We say jihad, everybody thinks of what happened in Austin, what happened in Boston Marathon, what happened on September 11, and they're not aware that there's way more faces into jihad than screaming Allahu Akbar and killing people. This book has 11 chapters. 10 chapters explain the 10 different forms of jihad that Muslims commit inside America heavily since September 11. And the last chapter is basically called United Front, where I give tangible and practical ways for Americans to be able to reverse this damage, not necessarily putting it all on legislators. There are steps for average Americans to be able to stop and reverse the damage, because again, jihad doesn't end at bombing and suicide bombing and knife attacks. Jihad goes deeper. It goes into political jihad. We're watching Mamdanis in office, and Rashida Tlaibs and Ilhan Omars and rest of them. There is the lawfare jihad, where we're witnessing care do it to Americans. So I saw the need after the 12 days. And again, it happened to come out. It is available on pre-order on my website, but it's going to be the time that we're going to see a lot of anti-Semitism in America during this war, instead of noticing this war had to happen because of the architecture of jihad If we don't end it at the head of a snake, it's going to continue growing in our country. And there will be a day when we have to fight on our streets to save our liberty.
How do you recommend? Okay, so this is the big problem that I know so many of us have. When we, as we've seen in the wars in the Middle East, when the Americans are obviously there, we're leading obviously air support for Israel. We're supporting Israel in all of this. We see then an influx years later of refugees that are flooded into our country, and myself included. I mean, we don't want more Muslims in our country anymore, because we've seen the everlasting effects of this. You know, when we go now for Christmas celebrations, you know, I was just simply walking around. I live in the DFW area, and I was just trying to enjoy Christmas with my family. And we've got these concrete barriers that are created and put up now because we can't simply enjoy the holiday season anymore because these people have come into our country. And of course, not all of them. I'll say that. I'll be honest there. But, you know, when they're driving their vehicles, when they're being instructed to use their vehicles as weapons and target Christians and other groups, this wasn't a problem that we had before all of this. So how do we combat that?
Well, the first step, I go back to the book. In the book, one of the chapters, that is the civilization jihad, at the end of that chapter, I have about a dozen or 10 steps of practical countermeasures. I believe number one or number two in there is when you take action by boycotting the system of Sharia in your city, in your town, in your state. And boycotting Sharia system is not a stopping Muslims from doing their prayer or fasting during Ramadan. Boycotting it is when you stop, for example, stop purchasing from any store that is providing halal products. You stop. That is where you're funding your demise. If you cut the money, they can't survive in America. They have to leave. The other part is you don't donate to any of your humanitarian causes that are supporting funding of Sharia. It takes a little bit of work, Brianna. We both know doing research is not that easy. But if Americans are serious to stop the growth of Islam and practice of Sharia through Muslims in America, we need to do our homework. When somebody knocks at your door and say, hey, I'm here from CARE, C-A-R-E, the organization, they knocked at my door. We're helping, you know, poor people and this and that. I said, I'm going to dig into your organization and I'm going to donate if needed. When I started digging, they were sending most of their money to PLO in Palestine. I didn't donate. So don't get emotional. Here's the thing, Brianna, Americans tend to be too emotional. We feel like we owe the world a lot because we have a better life here. We have earned our better life, people. They didn't hand it to us. You don't need to enable your enemy because you feel bad about your privileges. Our privileges come from God. Maybe the nations would be thriving like we do if they came to God as well. So number one, clean
Annie,
up your
neighborhood. We're going to hit heartbreak. Stay right there, Annie Cyrus. We're going to take you back in just 2 minutes.
We're engaged in world-changing information here. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at thealexjonesstore.com. And we have a massive sale. Alert, alert, alert. I'm saying this live on air Thursday, February 26th. And that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies and our high-quality Shilajit. You get either or. You choose absolutely free with our creatine. The Alex Jones Store. com. We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, I want the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 supply company.
Woo!
I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.